As I hope that what I'm going to say tonight will be a help and a blessing to us, I want to read just a portion of Scripture from the 119th Psalm, beginning with verse number 57, where the psalmist said, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten that thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." Would you pray with me for just a moment? Father, we do give you thanks for your wonderful word. Thank you how we heard it preached this morning, spoke to our hearts about your soon return. And Lord, the trouble and the mess that this world is in. And Lord, I'm thankful for Worth Baptist Church. I'm thankful for the opportunity I have to serve in your wonderful service. And Father, my prayer tonight is that all of us would be part of the solution and not part of the problem. I pray that all of us might step into the place where we can be used, greatly used, by our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I like to read books on research sometimes, and I was reading recently about how that here in the United States there are more people who are attending church than ever before. And I know sometimes we wonder if that's so, but according to the research that they do, they say more people are attending church than ever before. I thought, wow, that's great. They also said that there are more large churches or mega churches now in the United States than there ever has been. I think they said there's something like 1,200 mega churches. And so I thought, wow, that is tremendous to think that we have all of this here in the United States, and yet sometimes we look at it and we say, wait a minute, if we have all of this, why do we have all the problems and the troubles that we have? We have more technology than we've ever had before. We have better facilities than we've ever had before. We have more education. We have better programs. And yet somehow it seems like it's not enough, because this generation, the new generation that's coming on, and it has happened over the last 50 years or so, each generation there have been fewer people who are staying in our churches, fewer people who are continuing on, who are actually fruit that remains, than ever before. And we're living in a generation where it's kind of dipping down into the very low percentages of people who will continue on for the Lord. And sometimes I shake my head, and I know we speak to many people about this and say, what's happening? Why do our kids still leave? Why is it that things like divorce are as high in our churches and sometimes higher than they are out in the world? And of course, my great interest is, why is it that our world is still not reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why is it that there are still multitudes of people who have never yet heard the name of Jesus Christ? Why is it that our churches have not maximized the opportunity to send out people equipped with this technology and equipped with education and equipped with all of the right programs so that we can reach our world with Jesus, for Jesus Christ? Sometimes I'm afraid, and this goes back to what I was talking about, how we do third world medicine in our clinic sometimes. I feel like that we have fixated on things, on all those good things that we have. We've fixated on those things, and sometimes on the things of God, whether it be church buildings or whether it be our programs or whether it be worship or whether it be some sort of a methodology, sometimes good things, but external things which have become our idols instead of the thing that we need the very most, and that I need the very most in my life. And the thing that I want to speak to you about is right there in verse number 57, where the psalmist said this, Thou art my portion. Thou art my portion. You know, that goes back to a thought that came up with the children of Israel after they had been victorious and crossed over into the promised land, and they were able, now that they had conquered everything, they were able to give out portions of land to all the different people, all the different nations. These people could have this city and this area, and this tribe could have this area, and they were dividing all of this out. But when they came to the Levites, they said, now the Levites don't get a portion. They don't get any of these pieces of land here, because their portion is the Lord. Their portion is the Lord. And when the psalmist was writing this, and here in English, because of the way our language is, they've added a few more words there, but do you know what he literally said there? He said, my portion is Jehovah. My portion is the Lord. And when I read that, when I began to understand it, I said, oh God, that's what I want. We can have so many things. We can have so many blessings. We can have so much. We can be so blessed that we somehow, God gets pushed out of it. And we become so thankful for all the things. And we become so active and so busy doing all the things that we do that God's kind of pushed to the background. And oh, we're serving God, and we're doing the work of God, and this is the church of God, and we're preaching the message of God, and we're going out and trying to reach people for God. And in yet all of that busyness, somehow, He has not been our portion. And He needs to be our portion. The psalmist said, my portion, Thou art my portion, oh Lord. The psalmist said, I want God Himself. There is absolutely nothing that's better than to have Him. Because if we have Him, beloved, we have it all. If we have Him, if we truly have Him, if we truly sought Him, if we truly know Him, we have it all. Sounds kind of simple and easy, doesn't it? But it really requires a lot of effort. It requires a lot of effort. And what it requires is that we understand that God is only discovered by His Word. God can only be discovered in His Word. Now, I love going to these places where we go, and sometimes placing in the hands of people the first copy of the Word of God that they've ever owned, and being able to sit down with them and open the Word of God with them and teach them and love them and show them about God. But it requires some effort. It requires that we do some diligence. Because look, if you will, here in this, in verse 57, he says, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Thy words. And this speaks even of what he said in verse 56. This I had because I kept Thy precepts. I think in some ways, and again, this may go back to that idea of doing third world medicine. I think sometimes we have so much today. We have so many blessings today. We have so many helps today. We have so many ways that the Word of God can come to us, and in symbols and in music, and all of those things are wonderful. But we sometimes forget. We just need to get back to the pureness and the simplicity and the power of the Word of God. Thou art my portion, and I'm going to find Him in the Word of God. He said, I will keep Thy words. Look, if you will, also in verse number 58, because he said, and we find in his word that he said, I entreated Thy favor with my whole heart. And I believe that's the way we find the Lord. I believe that's what we have to do. I'm afraid sometimes we are so divided. I'm afraid sometimes we're so double-minded. I'm afraid sometimes so many other things enter in that we don't realize that we must seek Him with our whole heart. The Scripture says repeatedly, He will be found of us when we seek Him with all of our heart. That's certainly what we have to do. That's why it requires some effort on our part to seek Him with our whole heart. And in His mercy, we can find Him according to His word. And then look in verse 59. He said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I think verse 59 might have been the first thought here that drew my attention to this passage of Scripture. Because I like pivotal verses. And I like verses that speak about a change, and verses that speak about a turning. And that's what this verse is saying. The psalmist says here, Thou art my portion. And as he discovered the opportunity to know God, as he discovered that God Himself was of utmost importance, that was the priority of his life, it had a real changing effect in his life. And he says there in verse number 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet. It was a turning point for him, both of his character and his destiny. And I think sometimes the reason why we lose our young people, it's not that they don't know about church. It's not that they don't know about our programs. It's not that they don't know many of our songs. But they don't know Him. They've not found Him in the Word of God. They've not found Him. Jesus said, Search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. And as we look into the Word of God, as we memorize the Word of God, as we preach the Word of God, as we teach the Word of God, as we disciple, our entire goal ought to be for them to find Him, for Him to be our portion, for Him to be their portion. He said that was the turning point for his character, the turning point for his destiny. And he obeyed and lived it. He said, I made haste. Now today we live in a kind of a fast-paced society. But sometimes we're not quick to move on the thing that is the most important. He obeyed. He lived what the Word of God said. He did what it said to do. Verse 61, he said, The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Or thy word. Because it takes the word of God. It takes the word of God to change a life. I think sometimes, I remember a story about a fella who was baptizing one day. And they had a whole bunch of bus kids that they were trying to baptize. And so they were getting them into the changing room and out into the baptistry and out the other side just as quick as they could because they had a number of people to baptize. And all of a sudden, as they were rushing them through, one little fella missed the robe and came running on out into the baptistry. You know, you can imagine how that stirred up things. But you know, sometimes I'm afraid we get a process going so much. We do what we do. We do church. We have Sunday school. We have programs. We have missions. We have all of these things. And they're all good things. But I'm afraid sometimes in the whole process, as we do what we do, we somehow miss out. We've forgotten that it takes the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to bring regeneration into the hearts, to bring that change, to turn those lives around. The church can't do the job. As good as our church is, it doesn't matter how good our churches are. I mean, our churches ought to be the best. They ought to be. They ought to be the top. They ought to be. We ought to be reaching for everything we can to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. But in all of that, we must remember that it's something as simple as the Word of God and the Spirit of God that changes those hearts. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And we must have those elements in every life that is changed. I'm afraid sometimes we look at these kids as they graduate from high school and go out, and we lose them. We look at older families. We say, what happened? Why did they go out? Why did they get into the world? Why did they get involved in this thing? I'm afraid something is as simple as there was no turning point in their life. The Word never caught on. The Spirit of God was never able to touch the Word. Somehow it was missed in all that was there. And so he said, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. It takes the Word of God in our lives. It takes a good church like this. He said, I'm the companion of all of them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. It takes companionship. It takes fellowship like we find in good churches like this. That's why my wife and I have spent our lives since we were just young people trying to establish, trying to win people to Christ, disciple them, and establish them in local bodies of believers, in churches, local churches, because we believe that's the best place that they can be touched by the Word of God. But we can never, never forget that we must, the Word of God must be central and not just preached, but somehow deeply and thoroughly and sincerely and prayerfully applied to every heart until those ones we're working with can say, my portion is God. My portion is God. I wonder tonight if we can each of us say that truthfully, truthfully. Oh, perhaps we could enumerate all the different things that we do and the service and the opportunities and the things that we're involved in, but may I just ask you to push those aside for a moment and say, what is the number one? What is the priority? What really is God really your portion? Could you say like those Levites, I don't need those other things. Let them have all of that. My portion is the Lord. My portion is the Lord. And he's found right here in his Word. Could we stand to our feet with our heads bowed for a moment? Prayer. And I'd like to ask you to do something as we consider these moments, this time of invitation. I'd just like for you to look and see in your own heart, down deep in the depths of your own soul. Could you say that? Could you say, God is my portion? Nothing else. Don't crowd him out with anything else. There's got to be that starting point. And there could be someone here, as there is in so many places, so many churches. Maybe you've been here for years and years. You know how, you know the whole church scene. You know the songs. You know when to stand and when to sit. You know when to come and when to go. You know all the right words. Do you know him? Do you know him? Is he your portion? Tonight as we leave here, I hope that every single one of us could have been so touched by God's Word and his Spirit that we'd say, God is my portion. Father, now speak through your Word. And as we have these moments and turn this service to the pastor, we'll thank you for what you'll do for us, for all of us. Oh God, I want you alone. I want to be able to cry out, my portion is God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.